Hello and welcome to Leading Words, words that God Himself separated and placed in the Holy Scriptures to ensure that you may receive everlasting life. Words that Jesus Himself parsed and said, "These words that I speak unto you, they are life and they are spirit." We call them leading words because they lead you to life everlasting. Today is another special day. It's the day of the Lord, and we are here celebrating in His honor His resurrected day, the day of the Lord. I want to share with you a scripture from the book of Saint Mark. It's a bit controversial because people are trying to figure out why will Jesus do such a thing. And I think I have a little answer for some of you. It might not be the only answer, but it could quite be one of the reasons why He acted and did such a thing. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me in the book of Mark, chapter 11. Mark, or St. Mark Gospel, chapter 11. And I'm just going to read a few verses. Verse 12 through 14. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you again to open your Bibles with me, and we are going to look Mark chapter 12, beginning from verse 12 through 14. It read to us as follow in the name of the Lord. And the morrow, meaning on the following day, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Speaking about Jesus Christ. It said that the following day, when they came from Bethany, Jesus Christ was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, it said, he came, if applied, he said he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet, or was not. And Jesus answered and said unto it. Notice verse 14. And Jesus responded and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. This portion of scripture has lots of tensions between it. Lots of tensions. And perhaps there are some discrepancies that are mentioned in it also. Jesus Christ was stationed in Bethany. And Bethany is just a few steps above Jerusalem. Matter of fact, you must come down the slopes from Bethany and then rise up a little bit, cross over this Kedron Valley, and you are in Jerusalem. So Jesus had some friends living in Bethany. Martha, Lazarus, Lazarus' sister, who is Mary, they live in Bethany. Also, a man by the name of Simon. A very wealthy man named Simon. And this Simon, the Bible says, was Judas's father. That man also lived in Bethany. So you see, Judas came from a little wealthy family because his father was Simon, according to John. Simon, Judas's father. So they all live in Bethany. Now Jesus, many times when he visits Jerusalem, he will go up to Bethany and stay at the house of Martha and Mary. This time now he's coming back down. And when he's approaching Jerusalem, coming down these slopes from Bethany, the scripture said he was hungry. He was hungry. But I want you to look at the tensions in the scripture here, or in the narrative. It says when he was coming down, he was hungry. And seeing, now notice these things, seeing a fig tree afar off. And then the writer, Mark, says, having leaves. Notice, he's very particular of how he's expressing the narrative. He said he saw this fig tree afar off, but the fig tree having leaves. And then he continued and he said, and he came to the fig tree in case, he said, he might find something on that fig tree thereon. Now, why would he say having leaves? Shouldn't a fig tree or any tree have leaves on it? That should indicate something, right? There is something that he's trying to point out to us. And notice later on it says, and when he went or when he came, he found nothing but leaves. You see that? So something about these leaves that St. Mark is trying to draft our attentions towards. He said he saw this fig tree afar off, very far off. So he said, oh, and it had leaves. Oh, look, a fig tree, and it has leaves. So he ran up to the fig tree. But when he got close to the fig tree, he noticed that the fig tree has nothing but leaves. And then he said, and found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. The time of figs was not yet. And he turned around and cursed the fig tree. Hey. Tensions, right? Yes, there is tension here. Why? Because he come close to the fig tree. And secondly, after coming close to this fig tree, he noticed that the fig tree has leaves, and that is what attracted him to the fig tree. The leaves on the tree attracted him. But when he got closer, he noticed that all you had on this fig tree are leaves. And then if you notice the following verse, verse 14, Mark says, and he, Jesus Christ, answered the fig tree. He answered the fig tree. So why is he saying he answered the fig tree? These are tensions in the narrative, little tensions, things that are pulling. But they are like that because the narrative is trying to build an irony, something that doesn't match, so it can quicken your understanding or draft your attention, like, hey, look at this. This is unusual, you see? And that's what the narrative is trying to do. Building this tension so it could draft your attention, like, hey, look. Something is happening here, out of the unusual, or out of the regular, something unusual. Well, for starters, let's look at this. God has always had an issue with fig trees. From Adam and Eve, the scripture says to us that when Adam and Eve sinned against God, and they realized that they were naked, the Bible said that they run over and got themselves fig trees. And that the fig tree leaves, they use it and sewed like aprons and coverings for her and for him. They covered themselves with the fig tree. And then when God found them in the garden, he saw them covered with this fig tree, and he asked them, well, why are you covered up with this fig tree? They said, well, the truth is that we heard your voice and we realized that we were naked, and we went and hide, and then now we came out and here we are covered up with some fig tree, fig leaves. And he took off the fig leaves. He said, that's not a proper covering for you. And what's the issue here is that fig tree or the leaves from the fig tree, they are very treason activity leaves. There are leaves that will double cross you. Let's use that lingo. There are leaves that are not faithful leaves. They double cross the person. And what happened is that these leaves, they are very unique in their composition. They are very big leaves, which is good for covering. Fig tree produces big leaves, and these big leaves make good covering for the body. Problem with the leaves of the fig tree is that, yes, it will cover you, but as time goes on, these leaves tend to shrink and shrink, and they will keep shrinking, and they will come so small that what they were covering now is on the open for everybody to see. These leaves will expose you. There is no real trust in the covering, because it will begin by covering you, but then 2, 3, 4 days later, it will just discover you. And God is saying, anything that will start out covering you, but later on will double cross and discover you, is something then that you should never trust in. So he took those leaves off Adam and Eve, and he covered them with something that will last more. He killed an animal and took the skin of an animal, the hide, and then covered them with that. And now they were properly covered, at least for a good while, until the real covering, Jesus Christ, was able to come and cover us permanently. So God always have issues with fig trees, with the leaves specifically. But now another thing about fig trees. Whenever fig trees has leaves, is the number one indicator that it should have fruit. For some strange reason, that's the way fig tree operates. How will you know when it has fruit? When it has leaves. If it has no leaves, it has no fruit. But by the time the fruit comes, which starts first, the leaves come and cover the fruit and help the fruit to develop even better. Well, that's why when Mark says that Jesus saw the fig tree and it had leaves, it said he saw it from far. You see that? He's coming down the slopes of Bethany and he looked over and from far. Why from far? Because that slope, if you ever go to Israel, is almost the same till today. That slope had lots of fig trees. Matter of fact, that area is called Bethphage or Bethpage, Bethany and Bethpage, right next to one, because it has lots of fig trees planted there. So what happened? He saw a lot of fig trees while he's on his way, coming down the slopes, going towards Jerusalem, while he's walking with his disciples. There's a lot of fig trees around, but they have no leaves. But when he looked farther, he said, hey, look at that one over there. It has leaves. Wow, that one has leaves. It must be saying something. And that's the issue. The issue here is that the fig tree was saying something. It was advertising something. It was making it known by having leaves. It's saying to the rest of the world, hey, I have fruit. I am the product that can help satisfy and strengthen you. I am the thing that can nourish you. Come, look, hey, I have fruit. So he saw the leaves. The leaves are the thing that drafted his attention, because there were a lot of fig trees right next to one another, whole bunch of fig trees, lots of fig trees, but none of them had leaves except that one. And the Bible said he saw it from far. Wow, look at that one over there. that one has leaves. Therefore, it should have fruit on it. The note is there also. This note is very specific. The note says it was not timely. It was not the season for figs. No, it wasn't the season. And that's true. But sometimes, just like in the country that I came from, we have mangoes, lots of mangoes that grow. And sometimes we have mango trees that produce mangoes, even when it's not the season for mangoes. Sometimes the season passed, and there you have a late bloomer, a tree that now then it decides to produce when it's not the season. And then you have some trees, mango trees, that produces before the season. So you always have some of these trees that produce before, and then you have some late bloomers that comes out after the season is over. Well, it wasn't the season for figs, but this one was announcing something. This tree was saying, I have something. So Jesus was attracted to it, and when he reached there, there was nothing. Mark says, nothing but leaves. Nothing but leaves. And he cursed the tree. He cursed the tree. And everybody's saying, but why would he curse the tree? It's not the tree's fault. It's whose fault? Whatever, nature's fault. But he cursed the tree in order to teach a lesson. Because a little bit after that, he went into the temple and he threw out all the money exchangers and all the business deals that were going on in the temple and all the things that could sidetrack the mind of the individual from making a connection with God. He threw everything out of the temple. And he was very upset when he did it. The Bible even said that he made a rope and braided it and took this thing and drove them out. The Bible used the word drove them out of the temple. And then it even said, Mark said, and he wouldn't even allow any to pass there. People couldn't even pass there with the merchandise. He wouldn't even allow any to pass there. He threw them out. It's a message. And he's saying this message to all of us. The idea is, if you're going to profess one thing, you must live up to your profession. The things that you profess, you should fight hard to live up. If you are going to profess Jesus Christ, then you should do everything necessary in your strength and in your abilities to live up to what you profess. You can't profess Christ, but you live like the devil. You can't profess that you are on your way to heaven, but you live like hell. You can't profess that you are a child of God, but you live like a child of Satan. You can't profess one thing with your mouth, but your lifestyle is saying something else. You can't project on one side of your life righteousness, but on the other side you are projecting corruption, evil, sinfulness. You should try. The Bible said we must learn to submit to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from us. All have sinned, the scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But even though all have sinned, all of us have the responsibility of fighting this good fight. The Apostle Paul made it clear in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, I fought a good fight. I fought this thing. He said, I fought even with beasts in Ephesus. I fight this thing. And God is saying the same thing. If you are going to profess Jesus Christ, then you have to fight this thing. Christ is not easy. Christ is not easy. And if you're looking for ease, then you need to leave Christ, because Christ is not easy. And Christ make it very clear in Luke chapter 14. He said, if any man will come after me, he have to be willing to deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It means that it's going to be a suffering. It's going to be suffering. It's going to be hurt. And there are some things in your life that you're going to have to deny yourself. Oh, people are going to do things to you. People are going to hurt you, and you can't hurt them back. People are going to do things to you, and you can't do it back to them. So many things are going to come against you, and you cannot respond in the way that it happens to you. You have to fight this good fight in order then to produce the fruits of him that liveth inside of you. Christ wants to live inside of you. And if he's going to live inside of you, then the Bible said, by your fruit you shall know them. And people will know you by your fruit. And that fruit is Christ in you. Now you must show Christ through you. But you cannot announce one thing and you have nothing to show for it. It is called, you know, the commercial people call it false advertisement. Fraud. They advertise one thing, but they have nothing to show for it. And one reason Jesus is doing this is to show that God is not pleased with that double lifestyle, that we act one way, but we produce nothing for him on the other way. We on the outside, we have lots of beautiful leaves. We look so beautiful and so deep and so profound and so spiritual on the outside. But on the inside, our hearts are not transformed. And the lifestyle that we live, it does not match what we profess on the outside. We need to correct that. And Christ came to help us to correct that. Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. He came to take away your sins. He came to change your lives. And I want to encourage you today. Let's not be like the fig tree. We announcing one thing with our mouth, and we announcing one thing on the outside, but our lifestyle on the inside, totally different. And we are not projecting Christ as we are professing him with our mouth. We need Christ to be seen in us and through us. We need to walk with him, walk like him, and allow him to walk and to live through us. God bless you today. And to hear the scriptures in Mark chapter 11, I pray that God will help you to live out Christ as you go on unto everlasting life. God bless you, God bless you, and God bless you.